we're going to do. It's actually fairly simple what you have to do, but it will be interesting. So seven volunteers who would like to join me at the front to help me do the reading. We're thinking about Jesus as the bread of life. So I'm going to give you, each of you, one of these breadsticks, okay? And on each one is written some words. And what I need you to do is to work out what order the words come in. Oh, this is such a joy. It's the church at work, you know, coming together, working out problems in joy and peace and love, just like Scotland playing England at rugby. Okay, and then we're going to read this together, everyone. One, two, three. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. Now, this is the memory verse for this morning that you're going to take into this week. So because it's a memory verse, we're going to say it again. Okay, so we say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. If we come to him, we will never be hungry. If we believe in him, we'll never be thirsty. And when he said this, he was saying it after the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that story where there's so many crowds, they have to gather the bread and the fish, and the disciples think there's not enough to feed everyone, and yet there is ever enough there. And then the disciples, the followers of Jesus are flocking to him, and they kind of want him to do the same thing again. Give us another miracle, Jesus. We love it when you do great things like that, when you do the brilliant, wonderful, miraculous things. We really love you, Jesus. You know, we live in anticipation, don't we, for the great things that might or might not happen. You know, those of us, there's a few of us there at the rugby game yesterday, and we'd been waiting 10 years for that moment to come. And that's why Sandy Benzies looks so happy this morning. And we live in anticipation for things that are actually quite fleeting. They don't last very long. It's just a game of rugby. And the whole of our life can be a bit like that. We just look for things that are passing, that don't have lasting effect. Whether it's a thing like the stuff that we put on the table, or whether it's an event, or whether it's a TV show, or whether it's a relationship, we make that the most important thing. And Jesus says to us, you know, the most important thing is me. I'm the one who sustains you. That's why it's so important that we spend time with him. It's why it's important that we read the Bible, because as we open up the Bible, we encounter Jesus, who is the living Word of God. That's why it's so important that we spend time praying together, but praying on our own as well, so that we are coming to Jesus and bringing our lives and our concerns to him. You know, it's great. You know, I don't plan. Some of the things that happen in this time, we don't plan. So Kira running up to me and sharing her wishes, you know, what her wishes are. It's actually, we all have hopes and dreams. We have things that we aspire to. There are things that we long for. There are things that we hope for. The things that we're struggling with in life. And sometimes we don't even have someone else that we can talk to. We need to be the kind of people that we can share our hearts and our minds and our needs with. But more than anything, we can bring all of those things to the Lord in prayer. That's what it means when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You'll never be hungry when you come to me, and you'll never be thirsty when you believe in me. Jesus longs for us to desire him above everything else in life. That's what he calls us to do and to be. So this morning, I wonder what that would look like for you. What difference does believing in Jesus make to you? What difference has he made in your life? What difference is he making right now? Are you hungry for him? And I've been wondering what to do about this at this point, whether I was going to get you to do this or not, but I think I will. I'm going to ask you, if you're able, to maybe share with your neighbor what difference it has made for your life in believing in Jesus. What difference does he make? How does he feed you and meet with you and help you? I'm going to give you just a few minutes to do that. I warn you, if you do it, it's always an encouragement to one another to hear a little bit of testimony about what God has done and is doing in our life. And if you are confident about it, it's great to share that with everybody. So I'm going to invite you at the end. We might not get any response, but I'm going to invite you at the end of this little section just to share with all of us. And I'll come with a microphone if you're able to share. Don't worry if you're not, that's fine. But I thought we would just take a little leap and try that out this morning and sharing it a little bit of testimony. So let's turn to our neighbour. What difference does believing in Jesus make to you? Just turn to your neighbour just for a few minutes and share a little bit. Okay, I wonder if anyone's brave enough to want to share a little bit of what difference Jesus makes in life. Anyone want to share? Anyone brave enough to do that? Lee.
I think we had to turn it around and say, what would be different if you didn't believe in Jesus? And then we have to say, everything would be different because we base all our actions, our thoughts, our plans, our hopes, everything on that belief in Jesus and on who he is, and that everything we do, we believe, we take to him and ask him what it's all about. So it's almost inconceivable to say, well, what if Jesus wasn't in it? You'd say, well, our lives would be totally, totally different. And we wouldn't know how. We wouldn't even begin to think, how would we live and how would we think and how would we act? Because we believe in him.
Thanks, Lee.
Okay, I'm going to go to John. John, do you want to share?
Well, my life was built upon being close to God, as close as I could be, guiding me and helping me to do what is right. It makes a whole difference that I had a meaning to life, and I had an object, thought that I'd work on based on Jesus's life.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing with us, John. That's great. Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
I believe as a Christian that we have a confidence in the future. If you go around the world, around the place, anywhere, there's a lot of depression and people think the worst, the country's going to the dogs, etc., etc. But God is in charge, and to me, that gives me an optimism for the future, and I'm sure it should do for all of us.
Okay, thanks. Bruce? I'm going to hold on to the microphone with you.
Oh dear. I was thrilled by what Shirley was saying to me, that Jesus has enabled so much for her and able to do difficult things that she thought she couldn't, that it's enabled her to see things more clearly. And she was saying the other day to someone who was interviewing her, and what else has can you do? What do you like doing? She said, I like reading. So the person said, what do you like reading? To which Shirley said, the Bible.
Brilliant. Thanks, Shirley. Thanks, Bruce, very much. So those are just a little taster, I guess, of what people were sharing and what people are thinking. And the word believe came up quite a few times. Leigh used it and Mike used it. I think John used it as well. And, you know, belief isn't just a head thing. It's not just about, you know, what we think or what we hold in our head. It's actually something that we put into action. And our belief is practical. It's a practical outworking in the world. You'll know that Billy Graham passed away this week. And here's an interesting question. Billy Graham's, you know, for those of us who are older, Billy Graham is really significant. How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Okay. Some of the younger people won't know who he is. Did you put your hands up over here, Billy Graham? Okay. Some of the older, younger people don't know who Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham was one of the great evangelists of the 20th century. And he went around the world preaching the message of Jesus in stadiums and in other venues. And he's just an amazing man, an amazing communicator. And he passed away at age 99 in North Carolina this week. And Billy, one of the things about Billy Graham is he was drawing people to faith. He was inviting people to follow Jesus, to be Christians. But the practical outworking of that so often for him was about changed lives. That if you believe in Jesus, it's not just an intellectual, it's not just in your brain. It changes what you do, how you live your life. You live for him. You aim to be like Jesus. That's the kind of the goal that God helps you with. He comes and helps you in the midst of your troubles and your problems. He doesn't necessarily take all of those away, but he gives you the resources to deal with them. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never be hungry. If you believe in me, you'll never thirst. He knew the disciples were going to face huge problems later on in their lives when they were sharing the gospel and taking the gospel out into the world. The main resource that they needed was him, to be coming again and again to him. And that is true. It was true then. It's true for us right now. It's true for us. Many of us right now need to be coming to Jesus as the one who resources us. It's true for us as a church. We need to be coming to him again and again and again, every opportunity we get. So how will we do that? Well, we'll think about that in a moment. So how do we respond? We come to the, when we draw near to the end of this time in the Catholic Church, we often do things to help us respond. And the way we're going to do that this morning is to pray. And what we've done is there are set up around in the four corners of this room little prayer stations. So let me explain how these are going to work. So there are four places. The first one is over there. And at that table, we're going to offer prayers for the world. And the idea is that you either draw or write something that's happening right now in the world that you want to pray for, that the Lord lays on your heart. So you might want to, if you're artistic, you might want to draw that symbolically and offer that as a prayer and leave it on the table. Or you might want to simply pray for the world. Okay, so that's that corner over there where it says world. All right, this corner over here, we're praying for our world concern partners, but especially this morning, if we could pray for Jenny and Chaz Tanner. Jenny has been diagnosed with motor neuron disease, so is really, really seriously ill. A few of us are hoping to go and visit them on this week, later this week. So please, let's focus in on them as well. We can pray for some of our others. We're focusing this month on Paul and Isolde, James Griffiths and Christian Heritage Scotland. So you might want to offer prayers. And the idea there is that write your prayers down on a little post-it note and stick it on a piece of paper that's stuck on the wall, okay? And then over here, we're going to be praying for healing. There's a few people that we know need prayers for God's help and God's healing right now, but there might be other people that the Lord has laid on your hearts that you really are concerned for, who need healing. So what we're asking you to do there is simply to use a marker pen and to write the names on the piece of paper underneath where it says write names below. It's really quite simple. Okay? And then over here, We're going to be praying for the local community. One of the things that has been suggested, Leigh, who spoke about earlier on, came up with this idea about doing some prayer walking, and we kind of worked out we're going to walk up and down Glasgow Road in particular through Lent. And we began doing this last Sunday. And it was a great time, a great thing to be able to do. And when the weather's like this, it's wonderful. So we're going to do it again after this service. We're going to meet here and then go out. And I encourage as many of you as able are to come for that. We think it takes half an hour to walk up and down. That's all we're asking for, to pray. And you don't need to pray out loud if you're not comfortable doing that. But we, and tandem with that, one of the things that happened last week was that cards were put through some of the doors in the local area, and then folk went back and picked up the cards. Basically, we were asking people, what do you need prayer for? Is there anything happening that you would like any prayer for? And, you know, some, I mentioned this to one or two people, and they were a little bit, oh, I don't know if that's going to be helpful. Will people like you knocking on their doors? Will people get upset? But it's been really interesting. The response, I'm going to chat to Sheila, because Sheila was one of the folk who went to pick the cards up. So just tell us, was it awful?
No, it's really good. It was really positive. Leigh and I went out on Wednesday night, and it was really, we were very encouraged. There was a lot of people that, you know, did say, no, they didn't have anything to pray about, but thanked us very much for our concern, and they knew about the church, and it was really just being able to say to them, we're here, you know, if you ever need us, you know, we're... So they all knew the church, St. Thomas's. There were quite a few people who did ask specifically for prayers for members of family members who weren't well, and there was people who somebody who had lost his wife, and you know there was people that really one person who actually was very tearful and really thanked us for coming, and oh, I really appreciate this, is a lovely thing you're doing. So it was very encouraging, and Leigh and I would very much encourage you to come and help us when we do this again. It's lovely to, you know, make people aware that we're here, that we care about them, that we're a church in the community, and if there's anything we can do to help them.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks.
Brilliant. And we're going to, we said we would pray as a church for folk who asked for things. So we're going to do that this morning. So this point here is about praying for our community, for those things that we know about, who people have shared, and for other things that maybe we're concerned about that are happening in the community as well. And we've got some sheets of paper there with some of the things anonymized so that they're not identifiable. Some of the things people in the in this road asked for prayer this week. So we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this. You can dot around the different areas, the 4 points, and if you're not comfortable getting up out of your seat and moving around, just stay where you are and quietly pray. If you are comfortable, then make use of the 4 points around the church.